Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Your Money Matters starts a new week today, and we have a shortened show. As you heard, we got the basketball game, of course, at 6:30. Steven Esposito is going to take over the whole show. He says a lot of folks are worried about a recession, but supply chain issues are getting better. The unemployment number keeps going down. So what's at play here? We'll break it all down with him next on Your Money Matters on WGN. 720 WGN, Your Money Matters. Here's some numbers out the gate. Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500 all up. Gas prices down 0.3 of a cent today, 5 cents lower than we were last week. That comes out to $4.19 a gallon across the country. It's $4.43 a gallon here in Illinois. That average 30-year fixed mortgage rate up to 5.4%. Your average savings account interest down to 0.06%. Average credit card interest rates are up to 20.48%. And if you have federal college loans, you've got 27 more days of suspended payments. Those are some of the numbers here, and I'm John Hanson, and welcome to the program. And we got a short one today. I think that's why I'm talking so fast, because we got to get through a lot, of course. And here to do that with us is Steven Esposito. We always love chatting with Steven, of course. He's from the Lake Forest Group at Morgan Stanley. He's our Executive Director, Senior Portfolio Management Director. Steven, thanks for hopping on with us here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Right out the gate, it's, again, this Jekyll and Hyde economy that we talk about. I know people are fearing a recession. This comes, though, as supply chains are starting to loosen up a bit. Help us make a little sense of where we're at today, Stephen.
I think your introduction was great. It is a Jekyll and Hyde, but created more by the media out there and those pundits. You know, we all talk in their books, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is concerns. There is inflation. It is hot. Nobody can dispute that. You're in a situation which the fear now gripping the market is the Fed will go too far, too fast in an effort to catch up, thereby creating a recession and driving everything down. And
yeah,
that's what the fear is. So you're seeing interest rates, the short-term interest rate, the two-year, is higher, actually, than the 10-year. We talked about an inverted yield curve. That has signaled recession 13 of the last 10 recessions. Which means it overshoots a lot of times as far as it's overinterpreted
okay. When
it comes to the recession. But it's hard to have a recession. We have unemployment at 3.6%, and companies are still reaching for jobs, and people are still entering the workforce. So the unemployment numbers are looking great and doesn't signal a recession anytime soon. So I'm not making that investment at all. I would position myself differently than that. But who knows what the news is. And of course, the threat with Russia seems to have calmed down. It's still horrific what's going on there.
Right.
But I think the DEFCON 4 is maybe DEFCON 2 now, something like that. So let's hope that slowly goes away. And then, we don't have to worry about that as much going forward and then deal with horrific tragedies that's going on there. But that is there. But again, you've got so much uncertainty gripping the markets right now, and that's what's causing it.
Yes.
It's that simple.
Yeah, Stephen, I've been hearing this recession talk a lot from those pundits. I think we were maybe watching some of the same ones. And look, they may end up being right. And of course, we're not going to go forever without another recession. I'm not suggesting that. But when you watch the market the last couple of weeks, we've made back a lot of the dips that we saw early in the year. So I'm like further confused. Was that just people seeing a buying opportunity when the NASDAQ, I think, reached a bear market officially just for a blip of time? Is that people trying to see a deal? Maybe they still have some cash on hand. They're trying to.
I think you're right. Yeah. But you had such a dramatic sell-off in many of the momentum stocks, we'll refer to, that really ran up to valuations that were beyond absurd. They were in the stratosphere, and they came down hard. And there's some bargain hunting, but that's not unusual when they come down. They have a tendency to bounce, like steps going down and then bounce and sell off bounce. But I still would stay away from companies who are either trading in multiples that defy imagination in terms of their valuations, and well as avoiding those companies who don't make any money. I would still continue to focus on the cyclical investments. I do think the second half will be a much better year than most realize. And maybe the Fed, everybody worried about the Fed raising rates 8 or 10 times, maybe the Fed mid-year or in Q3 may only have to raise 6 times, meaning inflation's come down a little bit and started to subside, and then we could have a really nice rally. But there's nowhere else to put your money, by the way, either. Where are you going to go with your money? And money markets are now up to 0.25%. that's not going to get you in, and a 10-year treasury is at 2.5. That's not going to excite you either for retirement. So I still believe you got to be prudent, pick your companies well, go for dividends, not necessarily utilities, but dividend stock that also will grow their earnings, and focus on those type of investments right now instead of just throwing money at an index. I wouldn't do that. It's going to be a stock picker's market.
Yeah. I really feel like the last couple of years, and especially the last year and a half or 2 years, I'd say, you know, this economy, this market moves. Like, let's say we're on a treadmill and we're walking at a nice pace of 3 miles an hour. That's how I feel like it used to go. And I feel like we're just ramping up the up button on how fast things go. We still have the similar movements, right? Like the up and the down. I just feel like there's less time between them. Am I crazy?
Yeah. I mean, we're on hyperlink here. This thing is moving, just blink your eye, and you go to lunch and come back and see where the market is. There's too much of a gambling mentality in this market, and the computers are playing a major role. Algorithm trading, definitely playing a role. And the futures are having a huge impact on commodities and the bonds, which trigger, again, more algorithms to sell sectors of the market back and forth.
Wait, can you explain that? Why future, like, so the future markets guide what's happening in the current market is what you're suggesting?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
The volatility in those markets will have a domino effect on other areas. I can see it on my screen. The colors change on my screen from green to red and red to green based on sectors and based on where the bonds are hitting, where the 10-year treasury is versus the 2-year treasury. The latest announcement on television, the latest comment by anyone, it just affects the market so dramatically. But as investors, you have to just step back from all that. Instead, focus on where you think the market's got it wrong, and that's how you make money.
Yeah.
You look where the market's got it wrong, you buy, get some bargains, and wait for the market to get it right again. And that's how you make money in the market. But you got to be patient, and you got to keep your head on when the markets are volatile. So just keep your head looking straight and focus.
Yeah.
And I think that's how investors need to be. That's the only way you're going to make money.
Let's finish the metaphor and say just get off the treadmill, which I think is great news for everybody. And
right.
Just take a step back. Stephen, I'm going to put you on hold really quickly. I want to talk about supply chains in just a bit, but let's get a look at weather and traffic. Mary Vandeveld. Hey, it's John Hansen, everyone. Thanks for listening to Your Money Matters. And we continue our conversation with Stephen Esposito of the Lake Forest Group at Morgan Stanley. He's the executive director and senior portfolio management director. And Stephen, you don't mind a dumb question, do you?
Not at all.
All right. We've been talking about futures a lot, and I think I get the overall concept of them because I'm the same way. Like on my app, it tells me what the futures are overnight. When I turn on TV stations in the morning, I see what the implied open is, and that changes throughout the morning before we get the bell. But what I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at something that says futures are down just a little bit overnight in trading. Futures based on June 17th, 2022 contract. What does that mean? Are people betting and putting money on a contract that's 2 months away and that's used to prognosticate where it's going to be then? Do you have any idea what that means?
That's actually a good way of explaining it.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty simple. The futures contracts are determining where they think the markets will be at that point in time. And they're looking out and making, if you want to call it, bets on where it's going to be or hedging the portfolios, et cetera. Exactly. And those are very volatile. They're highly leveraged in terms of the way they trade, and they can change in a blink of an eye in either direction based on whatever news is going on. And sometimes it's thinner trading, so it's more volatile. But you're correct. I wouldn't focus on that as an individual investor.
Yeah.
Rather, I would focus on the macro of economy. You can get into the microeconomy at that point. But then just look at companies that fit your risk tolerance and your investment objectives. Diversify your portfolio. It's not as easy as it sounds, mm-hmm. but it's important that you do the homework or get a professional. If you're not doing this, if you're doing this personally as a hobby, I really wouldn't take your life's work as a hobby.
Yeah.
Find a professional that can do it for you and you trust and that has got a track record or, you know, at least a few decades in the business, and then deploy your capital and focus on other things, because otherwise you'd be focused on this all day and you'll miss your life. Your life will go by if you're too focused on this.
Yeah, you better believe it. I honestly think like having the apps and stuff like that, it can be great. It welcomes everyone into this market, and that's wonderful. But boy, oh boy, they can become addicting. Like every other app on our phone, it just becomes something you stare at all day, and you really don't need to because, I'm 37. I'm investing for the long term. It doesn't really matter what happens today, but I seem to be concerned about it, but I'll try and pay less attention to it. The supply chain issue is something, though, that, of course, does impact our day-to-day prices all over the place. We're starting to see loosening up in some areas, right? I know we've had some bad news about German car manufacturing, so it seems like it's sometimes two steps forward, one steps back with supply chain issues.
Yeah, it is. It's, you're starting to see loosening. You're seeing pricing coming down in some commodities, but others are staying up and going up a little bit. Lumber prices are down from over 1,600 to around 1,000. That's a pretty big drop in price of lumber. I've seen the freight index, which was way up there, and now that's actually turned negative, meaning the prices are coming down. So like anything else, we've had supply shortages before. That will happen. And then it will loosen up, and then you'll have oversupply. That's just the way it is. It shoots the runway. So I'm investing, waiting for that supply chain to catch up and people to get those orders. Imagine what's going to happen when that dealership gets those 300 cars instead of three. What kind of quarter they're going to have. And that will affect the economy and business. And that's where you've got to look out. Too many people look at the market as a form of entertainment, a casino on their phone. And you can't look at it that way. That's great if you want to play with a small fraction of your money. But if you're a serious investor, I wouldn't do that. Don't look the market to entertain you. I joke with people, I want to bore you to retirement. I'm not here to entertain you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bore you to retirement and bore you in retirement. That's the whole idea. At night. It's not worth it.
I like that. Yeah, you know, and with supply chains, of course it's annoying. And for business owners, it can be crippling. I'm not trying to undermine it. But having a supply chain shortage and having some inflation, I know we're hotter than we want to be, I always do tell people, though, like, what do you want? Do you want deflation and oversupply? I mean, like, it's better than the alternative in some way, right? There are a lot of good signs that are fueling supply chain problems. It's because everyone wants something, then they have the money to spend it.
You're hitting it right. You can come work here anytime you want.
Hey, there we go.
We got a position for it. You've got it. That's exactly the way you have to look at it. It's they're never happy. You know, just a year ago, they were talking, deflation. You're correct. Remember when oil got down to negative $35 a barrel in the futures market at one point?
Right.
And now we're up to 130. Now we're about 104. And I've heard people telling me $300 oil. So it's all over the map. Just try to find some common sense and deploy your capital accordingly. But it's got to be tailored to you. It can't be one of these, just throw in a couple of models and go have lunch. I think what we've gotten away from is personalized investments, and it's been too much done by software. Yeah. And I think that's something that's also affecting the market volatility, because everybody's doing the exact same thing. There's no real individual investment being done anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a dinosaur, if you want to call it that. I still do it that way. In fact, you said you're 37.
Yes, sir.
I started this business a year before you were born.
Well, that's... Hey,
now I feel old.
No, sorry. And anytime I say my age, I always get texts saying, I stop saying it. But yeah, just leveling with people where I'm at.
Right.
You know, and last question, Stephen, and this is just a kind of a generic one at that. I know that we want to like stay the course and we make sound investments, and I'm sure you do too. But there is some pivoting and relearning that goes on in your job too, right? It's just not reacting to daily news or weekly news. It's pivoting based on year-long trends, multi-year trends, right? Like that's how you have to look at it as someone who still wants to be relatable to the current consumer or the current person investing their money.
Oh, absolutely. People are more different now than ever in their needs, their desires. When they were on retire, you really have to tailor make a suit, if you want to use that analogy, rather than one off the rack. And there's too many people just doing it off the rack. I think you really have to take the time. Everybody's personality is different. Their investment goals are different. People are living much longer than they used to live 30 years ago. And you retired at 65 and people passed away at 70. Your money didn't have to last very long. Now people are retiring at 67, living to be 90. I've got a client who's 96.
Yeah.
Gotta all right. I mean, it's amazing. So you can't just go out there and, again, just do only software financial planning. Because everybody is so different, their lives are living longer, they have more needs, and people just learned a big lesson in the last couple of years with COVID about family, about being prepared for the worst, never knowing, but also enjoying the day. So that's got to be incorporated in your financial plan. It's not in software, though. That's not a software plan that's going to do that for you. It's like a doctor, your family doctor. Yeah. It's your financial doctor. So,
all right.
See, you got it right.
Yeah. Hey, all right. And keep me in mind for that next job. I think you'll find out very quickly that was a poor choice to offer me that gig. Stephen Esposito, the Executive Director, Senior Portfolio Management Director at the Lake Forest Group at Morgan Stanley. Have a good one, Stephen, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Tell you what, let's take a break, then we'll wrap up this short show after this on WGN. Well, that'll just about do it for Your Money Matters here on this Monday, a short show. We'll be back tomorrow. And I always want to have people know what the answer to this question is. It is, how much should I have in savings in case I get fired? It's not something we love to talk about, but I think that that keeps people awake at night. We're going to answer that question tomorrow and also find out what your side hustle is. So be sure to call on in with those. We've had some great ones over the past week, and be sure to brag about what you're doing. That's tomorrow on Your Money Matters.